Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello and welcome to the Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm joined by Jim Ozarski. He is the Bucks beat reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Milwaukee Bucks, last we saw, they won a game, which has not been how things have gone for them. They beat the Phoenix Suns at home. Coach Mike Budenholzer back in Milwaukee, and the Bucks triumph. We will talk about that. Something interesting about Coach Bud that I want to bring up here by the end of this conversation. But the Bucks have been really stuck in the mud, Jim. And some of this is the Damian Lillard injury. Last we discussed, we didn't actually know what his injury was. We didn't actually know that it was a blood clot in his leg. But I think we discussed it with the understanding that it was going to be a long-term absence, and it absolutely is a long-term absence, as we found out later that night, that Tuesday night. So, Jim, I'm real worried. As you might be surprised that I'm real worried. I have felt like this team was headed toward the sixth seed. They are now a game out of the five seed, looking up at the Detroit Pistons in the standings. Their schedule does loosen up here a little bit. There should be some opportunities for them to gain some ground. I guess I'm curious if you have now been dragged down into my pessimistic plane where you think this is almost certainly the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, or you think there's still some hope on the horizon that they can rescue this late season and end up leapfrogging a team or two and getting back into the hunt.
I mean, yeah, you mentioned the Lillard situation, and yeah, JR, I mean, I thought when we did the pod, this was a serious calf strain, meaning maybe the start of the playoffs, right? He'd be out for a month and be ready to go. Obviously, now he is out indefinitely, JR. And look, if you're a Bucks fan, I would say if the Bucks were to make it to the finals, maybe Damian Lillard could participate, but that would, I think, be a medical marvel. So, but it feels like Dame will be a healthy person and a healthy human going forward, JR, and that is the most important thing. And he probably will play basketball next season at some point. So, but they are what they are. They're the sixth seed right now, a game behind Detroit in the loss column. And it's really just a half game that they currently own a tiebreaker with the Pistons until the home and home season ending series, if you will, a mini playoff before the playoff, JR. And to your lead in there, the Bucks, look, they laid a huge egg against the Atlanta Hawks, giving up 145 points a night after losing to the Knicks when Giannis says, hey, we've got to be the toughest, nastiest defensive team. Let's give up a buck 45, 82 at the half. That was not
so
good.
It was so bad.
In context of all of that, it was one of their worst losses of the year. Kyle Kuzma called their effort disgusting, and there's really no debating that. Now, they beat the Suns. They take advantage of no Kevin Durant, no Bradley Beal. They take advantage of Giannis feeling some kind of way about losing to Bud in Phoenix, a week before. And now they've got the 76ers, JR, who do not want to win. They have got the Pelicans twice, who do not want to win. And then they've got a really bad Heat team. JR, like the Heat are bad. Yeah. So there's a real chance that, and then in between that, a home game against Minnesota, who is trying, they're a good team, who the Bucks actually beat in Minnesota without Dame and without Giannis. So there's a chance, JR, that as we record this, for as bad as it's been since March, the Bucks can rip off six in a row.
You are so optimistic. You are the opposite of me.
Like, it's wild. Like, I don't even think that's optimistic. Like, I think this is, if the 76ers are winning in the fourth quarter on Thursday, JR, they may just like bench whoever they have, right? Or like, if the Pelicans are winning in the fourth quarter, they may like
they want you to win, Milwaukee.
Yeah, they are. Now, the Heat are going to try. Like, the Heat are going to try, and it's in Miami. And we know how, all that is, but these team, and then the Timberwolves game, that's a real game, right? But if you do look at the fact that this version of the Bucks, because Bobby will be back for that game, right? At home, you know what that's going to be like. So even if he's rusty and 3 of 18, like his presence will help. So it 5 of 6, JR, like it has to be 5 of 6. So there is a chance, of course. And then they only need to win one of those two, I guess, against the Pistons to keep the tiebreaker. So no, like, I mean, they're the 6 seed right now. It's possible they're the 5. And honestly, JR, if they want to extend their season beyond the first round, they have to get out of the 6. Because New York, they're not beating the Knicks. Sorry. No, like, they're, New York's just way better. They're not beating the Knicks. They can beat the Pacers without Dame. I don't believe that's an optimistic look. I think that's a realistic thing. So they got to get out of the 6 to at least extend this season beyond a third straight first round exit.
The Bucks have not said that Damian Lillard is out for the rest of the year or the playoffs or anything like that, but it's just going to be so hard to get him back. And like you said, the finals, I mean, I think they'll push for sooner, you know, Damian Lillard probably will push for sooner, but it is playing with serious fire to get back sooner than that.
Yeah. There's no precedent that I'm aware of, JR. Like no. I mean, Wemby had surgery in his shoulder and he's out. Okay. Well then shoulder's different than a calf. Okay. Well, Assur Thompson and Brandon Ingram, the most recent, I guess, players who have gone through blood clots or had to work through them or whatever the proper terminology is there to get healthy, also missed
the rest seasons. Of the season.
Like the rest of the season, and I think Assur Thompson took it a little longer into this year maybe in Detroit. Because it's not just the blood clot, like in case people are wondering, like this is not a medical deep dive here, but like it's not just breaking up the clot and thinning that out and then making sure that there is no more clotting. And then getting off the blood thinners, it's also making sure the vein is healed. Like, that's why it's called deep vein thrombosis. Like, the clot is the thing that could be life-threatening, but, like, vein, like, you need your veins to heal. And, like, that's, again, another part of this that is, I don't know. I think Bucks fans and the Bucks, I think the Bucks are probably preparing for him to be done for the year, JR, like, done. I think Bucks fans need to accept that possibility, and if somehow he is makes a medical great medical recovery, JR, you know, the lights won't go out on the Bucks season. So
if you are watching YouTube,
hey, look at that timing. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm just gonna pull back the curtain on this. I am at American Family Field, gonna help with some Brewers coverage today, and I am in a closet, basically. It's maybe a little more glorified than that, but the lights do go out here when you have been, the sensor is behind a cabinet. It catches you when you walk in and out, but if you are not by the door, you lose the light. So we're going to do the rest of this in the dark, by the glow of the computer screen. You know, I spoke to a local expert from Aurora Healthcare and wrote about it at JS Online right after this diagnosis for Damian Lillard. And he said now he doesn't know the specifics of any cases, of course, but like he said, inherently the shoulder is not worse than the calf. It's they're the same. The same risk is there. So telling to me, and it could be much more involved than simply, you know, a basic blood clot with Victor Wembanyama, but it's telling to me that it was immediately like, you know what, shut it down. We're done for the year. Yes, he's a generational talent, but we have bigger fish to fry and the future to look forward to. And for his own good, we're just ruling him out for the year. You know, with Lillard now, this happening later in the season, you know, you would think, well, same thing, right? And it may not be as bad, relatively speaking, but it is still, like you said, it has to resolve. Which means it has to be gone. And then even then you're probably still taking some of the blood thinning medication, which you can't really be on and play high level athletics. You know, any contact is a major risk to you at that point. So really, really tough situation for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, can Giannis carry this team without him? First round playoff series, I think, is still asking a lot, but we've seen it. You wrote about how I think people maybe don't even realize how amazing he has been, how he has taken over games. We saw this in Phoenix. There are periods of time where Giannis Antetokounmpo is quite honestly unstoppable still. This is not news to us per se, but is he good enough to find another level and actually lead this team to a first round playoff win or to the four seed, five seed, whatever we're talking about here? Because sometimes you watch him and it's like, man, he is still playing at such an elite, elite level that there is that opportunity from time to time.
So the question of whether he can take it over, JR, I think is a valid one, because honestly, he has to. One, two, look,
he's the last time we've seen a healthy Giannis in the playoffs was 2022. Boston, he was phenomenal, right? But clearly wasn't enough to get beyond the second round without Chris. And I think we're looking at the same sort of situation. I do think, as I said earlier, they could beat the Pacers without Dame, and that's because of him. He might average 40 plus points in that Pacers series, JR, if that's the case, because I don't think he wants another first round exit, and I don't think the Pacers have anything for him. And then the Bucks have enough to win in Indy, to me, without Dame. I think it would just be a lot of 140 point games and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The real question, though, is look, he strained a calf already once this season. He sprained a foot in Phoenix. Can he get through dragging this team to a 5 seed in the final 6, 7, 8 games of the season, 2 real physical games against Detroit, and then a playoff? I don't know, but he is. I mean, he's got to put the cape on, JR, and you know, can he do that? On one hand, I say yes. On the other, I don't know how sustainable that is beyond a first round potential victory over the Pacers.
So you just mentioned Middleton real quickly, and this has been rolling around in my head. Would the Bucks do the Middleton trade again? Now I'm saying that's an impossible question to answer because I don't think they would if they knew that Damian Lillard would be lost for the year. The whole point here is to supplement what they had with Adetokounmpo and Lillard. But Kuzma has not played well. We talked briefly about that last time, and I just wonder if they made a mistake and if they already can identify that. You know, it obviously all hinges on what's going to happen in the postseason. Right now, that's so up in the air based on something that's out of their control. But did the Bucks make a mistake here? Would they not be better off with Chris Middleton in the long run than what they have gotten since?
I mean, yeah. I don't recall exactly what our pod was after the trade, JR, where I thought you could see the outline, I believe, of maybe what they could do with Kuzma instead of Chris offensively. Now they have been very good defensively. I will say that, like, they have been a top 4, top 5 defense since the trade deadline, since the All-Star. Like, so that part is there, but offensively they never found it with Dame, Giannis, and Kuzma. Now, whatever about injuries and availability, that's all true, but that's all been part of the calculus, JR. And like, they have since March 5th or whenever this skid started against Orlando, they haven't been able to score. And that was with Dame and Giannis. And so many times we've looked and said, wow, they could really use another guy who could go get a bucket. They could really use the guy who could like run a pick and roll and set everything up and get people where they need to be. And that's Chris Middleton. Would they be this good defensively without him or with him? Probably not. But I would also argue then he would give you something offensively that they haven't gotten. So yeah, the bet, JR, was on a healthy Dame and Giannis. You could have never foreseen a blood clot. However, you could foresee calf strains and soft tissue injuries. And they made a bet that none of that would happen. And that bet is busted. And now look, Doc is not infallible here, JR. I will say this. Having to reconfigure your entire offensive identity in the last 2 weeks of a season with this Dame medical issue is not an easy thing to do. They have to do it. They have to figure it out. And that's going to be the biggest question here, but, you know, getting into the playoffs.
It's only one game, the loss to the Hawks, but if you're going to have an identity that's more defensive, you can't give up 145 points in a game. You just can't. That's really bad. Okay, let's talk briefly about Mike Budenholzer, because something else came up that I thought was a little odd. Giannis spoke after the game on Tuesday night saying, really surprised there was no tribute video for Mike Budenholzer when he came back. This, again, was his first game coaching in an NBA since, of course, he was let go a couple years ago by the Bucks. Nothing acknowledging his championship season with the Bucks. An oversight, I think. Also notable that Giannis is the guy saying that. I mean, it didn't sound to me that Giannis was like upset about it or anything, but just, hey, what was up with that? I think what's weird about that is that this is a tenuous time for the Bucks. Like, if it's not going to work out this season, you know, the window feels like it is coming to a close here. And that would include, I'm not suggesting that the Giannis era is about to end or anything like that, but the Sharks are starting to circle again. And I don't know if now is the time to do stuff that catches the superstar as a little curious, but what did you think about all that? I know you weren't there. Ben Steele, our colleague, was there, but that was weird to me, Jim. I don't know if you felt the same.
Yes and no. I'll say no in that the fact that there were people wondering if they would do one shows that there was probably some lack of surprise that they didn't. And yes.
I mean, the Brewers did one for Craig Counsell and he left to go to the Cubs. Like, it was booed, but they did one.
Yeah. Look, I believe there are a lot of cooks in that kitchen when it comes to these things, JR. I don't know who makes all of those determinations, but here's the thing. It's an unforced error because there's nothing bad about it. There's like they're not going to, I mean, maybe fans would boo, but I doubt it. This is not that, you're right. It's not Counsell. It's celebrating a championship. Yes. Someone brought a Fire Bud sign to the parade. I get it. But it's 3 seasons removed from that, 2 years, whatever, JR. Like, I think it's an unforced error. And yeah, if people want to find the video of Giannis speaking, he does it in his Giannis way, but he noticed it and thought about it enough to bring it up on his own. And JR, you're right. Like, I don't, like, that means something. It's just why, right? Like, whatever the decision was, whomever made the decision, if it was a group effort, whatever it was, like, what's the harm in recognizing a championship coach? Like Doc's not going to feel any kind of way. Like, that's like two coaches removed. Even if Bud's Bud, and maybe he doesn't care or was like, whatever. But still, what does it harm? Like, the fans are there, right? There's a banner in the seat. Like, it's just one of those things where it's just an unforced error, in my opinion. But again, like, this is not a thing the team has been great at. Like, I know back in 2022, JR, there are people who were very unhappy that the team didn't really acknowledge 3 coaches going into the Hall of Fame that made indelible marks in Milwaukee. And, you know, the response was a social media post that, honestly, JR, like, I don't know on that platform, like, how many real people see that stuff. So it was just, it's not surprising, but it was surprising. And also, to your point, like, end of year, backsliding, not a whole lot to be happy about. Why not make the easy thing easy and show some championship stuff? And get people to like cheer and clap, and then you don't have your best player and your superstar having to talk about it post game, and then that all starts stuff like, well, hey, Giannis, your guy wasn't acknowledged, you feel this kind of way, you know what I mean? Like, why do that to yourself? Why step on your own toe? And that's what happened there.
You know, I am the pessimist on this podcast, so let me game this out just a little bit longer. This team ends up as a 6 seed, let's say. They lose in the first round, or don't, you know, maybe they even show well, but still lose in the first round. Like I said, Sharks are circling. I don't think this is a time to be worried about the future of Giannis, but, you know, if that cycle came around again and people would be like, are the Bucks going to keep going with Giannis? I'm starting to feel like there's a little bit of air there, a little bit of realness to it. Like, if this is two years with Damian Lillard where they wouldn't get out of the first round, injuries played a huge role. But I think by and large, if we step back, we would say the Damian Lillard experiment, I mean, it objectively hasn't worked, and that they haven't gotten deep in the playoffs. There are extenuating circumstances, but this is not one of the most dominant teams in the Eastern Conference. It's not a top 4 team. I guess you could argue about that, but it's not a top 3 team in the Eastern Conference, and not even close. What is the outcome here? Like, what are there ripple effects that could be had if this season ends like we think it's going to, with either a first round exit or, most optimistically, a second round exit? Like, is there some reason to worry about the Sharks circling this time around, Jim?
With Giannis specifically, I don't think so, JR. You know, because he'll do his once a year offseason interview where he talks about, as long as the Bucks continue to win, he wants to be here, and we'll rehash all of the times he has said that exact thing over the last 8 years. You know, teams look, the Brooklyn Nets, our colleague Brian Lewis over at the New York Post has written extensively that Giannis is plan A for the Nets. I mean, there's a reason they put that out there. He's the guy, right? So I don't think that part is ever going to change, no matter how many extensions he signs in Milwaukee, JR. But now to your broader question of, are there ripple effects? Yeah. Dame, we don't know his headspace on this, JR. But I think it's fair for him to wonder, did this work? Is this worth it? I think, you know, Wes Edens, we caught up with him at his charity event, and he was asked, like, again, was the Middleton trade financially motivated? Did ownership put a mandate on John Horst? And Wes Edens was unequivocally said, no financial mandate about an apron. This was a basketball decision. Hmm. And if it's a basketball decision and the basketball team is bad, I mean, there's only one through line outside of Giannis, Brooke, and Bobby and Pat, and that's John Horst. And so what is John Horst's situation like, JR, right? I think there will be ripple effects. This team will have a lot. They don't have cap space, but they'll have money. They've got two future first-round draft picks. They've got salaries they can aggregate and trade. Like, they can reboot this around Dame and Giannis, or reboot this around Giannis in a way that keeps them, you know, competitive and in the mix. Because honestly, JR, if you have that guy, you are competitive and you are in the mix. Let's not forget, on March 5th, they were 11 games over 500, shouting distance of the Knicks. We can break down all of the issues since March 5th. But that's a fact, right? That was turning in the right direction. And then the Knicks got hurt and struggled, and the Bucks couldn't take advantage. So it's like, hasn't been all bad. And so I can see a vision of ownership saying, you know, now what is their patience for extenuating circumstances? Like, that's the issue. Like, the reason you traded for Dame was because of extenuating circumstances and bad offense back in 2022 and 2023. And then it's been nothing but the same since. So it's fair for them to say, okay, we're tired of extenuating circumstances. How do we better position ourselves to avoid that? That's a fair question. That's something they'll have to answer, or John Horst will have to answer for at whenever this is over. What that is, I don't know. Yes, I mean, long and short, there will be ripple effects, JR. It's just impossible to see what that can be, because there's so much of this with Dame's health, his mindset on, you know, like, I don't know. They can say playoffs all they want, JR, but, like, unless the doctor says he's good to go for training camp, like, how, you know, what do they do there? So, and the roster will be remade regardless. So, yeah. I think a lot is on the table, you know, if this team does not make a conference finals run, let's put it that way.
Bucks won't be back home until the 8th against the Timberwolves, like you mentioned. They've got three winnable road games, though, in the meantime, against the 76ers, against the Heat and the Pelicans. We'll see if they can make up a little bit of ground and get back into this chase. Like you said, 5-seed or bust, man. I mean, bust maybe anyway, but if they are not the 5-seed and they have to face the Knicks in the first round, it is hard to see in situation that they actually advance out of the first round. But Jim, any last thoughts before I send you away?
You know, I know you're in the dark, JR. I know you got the doomer. Yes, I guess, look, I think in a week, if they have not won 5 of 6 or 6 in a row going into that Detroit home and home, that's not good. But I also will caution Bucks fans that if they do that, it's not like, oh, they figure things out. Like, no, like, five of six is literally what should happen. And so just keep an eye on that. Make sure Giannis is healthy. Enjoy what he's doing, JR. JSOnline.com. He's having another historical season that will be lost with a third or fourth place finish in the MVP vote, which is not his fault. It just speaks to that greatness elsewhere. So enjoy it if you're a Bucks fan. He's going to do some really cool stuff, I think, in this next week and put together another remarkable season. And then we'll see those Detroit games, JR. We'll see playoff before the playoff. It should be fun.
He is Jim Ozarski. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. I imagine our next podcast will have fewer technical glitches and weirdities, but we'll see. We'll see if we're talking about a Bucks team that has fewer technical glitches as well. Thank you, Jim, for joining us. We'll talk to you again very soon.
That was good, bud.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and jsonline.com production.